Morning again. I'd just like to echo the sentiment of congratulating our seniors. It's a huge achievement. Well, again, welcome to Rockville Christian Church. We're glad you're here to study with us today. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm 23. That's where we're going to be camping out today. If you want to go ahead and turn there. As I said before, we're in the middle of a series entitled Standing on the Promises, where we've been looking at some of the greatest passages and some of the greatest promises of God. And today we're going to be in Psalm 23, and we're going to be looking at the promise that He is our good shepherd, that He is our good shepherd. Now, before we jump into this passage this morning, I just want to say that the Psalms as literature are unique. They speak about who God is in comparison to our condition. If you were to look at the Psalms, you'll see that there's a moment in the psalmist's life where he is declaring who they are and what they are dealing with. And just a little bit later, the solution is always found in who God is and how He deals with it. And so today, as I said, we're going to be in Psalm 23. And it's a psalm that is, unfortunately, is most used at a funeral. And don't get me wrong, it's an appropriate psalm for a funeral. It's not a misuse, but it does have so much more to offer than just that. You see, Psalms chapter 23, it answers the question that many of us have. It answers the question that most of us have deep down inside of ourselves. And that question is, does anybody care about me? Does anybody care about me? If I'm not producing, if I am not beneficial, if I am not helpful or useful, does anyone really care about me? Or is it just about what I produce? Is it just about what I accomplish? Psalm 23 answers that question. And one of the things I really love about the 23rd Psalm is its uniqueness. You see, it's written by a shepherd who became king, who is honoring his king. And this shepherding motif is throughout the entire Psalms. And what is interesting about this psalm is that it doesn't have to be a shepherd's psalm. It can be a school teacher's psalm. It can be a stay-at-home mom psalm. It can be a mechanic psalm. It can be a preacher's psalm. It can be a dad's psalm. It can be a business owner's psalm. It can be a shop owner's psalm. It can be any job description psalm. If you take the 23rd psalm and you translate the truths about who God is from it into your life, into your context, into your world, you can rewrite this psalm. You see, the truth doesn't change no matter what the context you're putting into it. And that's why the 23rd Psalm is one of the most favorite passages in the Bible to a lot of people, because it speaks to all of us in our condition. Does anybody really care about me if I'm not producing for them? Let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David, the shepherd boy who became king, wrote that psalm, remembering the days back where he was a shepherd, how God was the greater shepherd. Jesus would call himself by these same words in John chapter 10, which I read earlier today. He would say, I am the good shepherd. And those words hearken back to the image that David understood, what a good shepherd means to the sheep, what a good shepherd does, who the good shepherd is. And so this morning, using David's testimony, I want to share with you five truths about God to help encourage us this morning. I'm going to share five truths from this passage this morning. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. The first truth I want to share with you this morning is the Lord will provide for us. The Lord will provide for us. The very first thing that David proclaims in this psalm about God is that He is a God of provision. Psalm chapter 23, look at verse 1 with me. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I don't know how many of you guys have experienced this maybe as kids, or maybe you guys have experienced it as an adult, but I remember as a small child when the preacher wasn't so interesting, and I'm sure none of you guys have ever experienced that at Rockville Christian Church, but I remember when the preacher wasn't so interesting that I would grab my mother's Bible and I would leaf through it. And I remember reading the 23rd Psalms in the Old King James Version. And it says, I shall not want. And as a kid, that was really hard for me. I shall not want. And as an adult, that's really hard for me. I want things. I don't know about you guys. Now, the newer translations say, I lack nothing, or I shall not be in want, which I think is a little bit more accurate of translation. Because Christianity is not about what we do. In this example, it would be in not wanting. Christianity is not about not wanting. Christianity is about what God has done for us. Christianity isn't about us. Christianity is about God. The opening line of Psalm 23 basically says, with God, I will need nothing more than Him. With God, I will need nothing more than Him. I want you to think about this, church. I want you to stop and I want you to think about this. If the Lord is your good shepherd, you need nothing else. He will take care of everything else in your life. It's the shepherd who goes ahead of the sheep. He's not behind them. Shepherds lead, they guide, they walk before they find safety, they find purpose, they find protection. A shepherd is needed because the sheep cannot protect themselves. I found a quote this week as I was studying from the theologian Martin Luther, who said, faith is best expressed in our personal pronouns. Faith is best expressed in our personal pronouns. So listen to how this begins. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What's the pronoun there? And because of that, I lack nothing. Pronouns indicate the purpose. The Lord is my shepherd. David goes on to say in verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. Before this week, I really did not know anything about sheep. I did not know anything about shepherds or shepherding. So I spent the majority of Monday researching that. So if you know anything about sheep, you know that, and I did not know this, but you cannot make them lay down. It's interesting. Sure, you can knock them over, but they will get back up. Because sheep are willful, they are stubborn, and they are prideful. It's no wonder that us as humans are used as the image of sheep, because we are willful, and we are stubborn, and we are prideful, and we want things our way. But if you know anything about sheep, you know that there are two things that a lamb needs in order to lay down. First, they need to be free of fear. They need to feel safe. And the second is, a sheep will not lay down if it's still hungry. So a sheep will not lay down if it's fearful or if its appetite has not been met. But if you look at the passage in verse 2, it says the Lord will make me lay down. Is he going to force these sheep to lay down? No, this is not a command. It means he makes us content. He makes me feel safe and full. Is that good news, church? Yeah. The passage continues, says he leads me beside quiet waters. Another thing I learned this week about sheep is that sheep will not go near running rivers. Why? Well, because they're covered in wool, and if the wool gets wet, they're going to be weighed down, and they'll drown. So they will not go anywhere near running water. But listen to what the shepherd does. He not only gives us peace and comfort and contentment to lay down, but he also takes us to a safe place to provide us everything we need. He takes us to still waters where we can have a drink and relax and know that we are protected and safe. So that was the first point I wanted to share with you this morning, is that the Lord will provide for us. The second point I would like to share with you guys this morning is the Lord will guide us. The Lord will guide us. Look at verse 3 with me. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Not only will God provide for us, but He's also going to guide us. So it says right here, for His name's sake. And some of us stop right here and go, well, He's only doing this for His own good. He's managing us. He's using us. No, that's not what this says. That's not what that means. That's not true. You have to understand about the goodness of God. And church, I want you to listen to this. This is important. The goodness of God is tied to the glory of God. The goodness of God is tied to the glory of God. And the glory of God is most found in his goodness to us, not in our benefit to him. I'm going to say that again, because that's good stuff. And if you guys were here this morning, I would expect an amen, all right? I'm going to say that again. The glory of God is most found in his goodness to us, not in our benefit to him. So when God leads us on the path of righteousness, it's to demonstrate his goodness and kindness and mercy toward us. He is showing us where to go. He is taking us to safe places. He is providing this place of comfort and contentment. And he is doing that so that we will bring glory to his name, because he relishes in his goodness. He relishes in his kindness. He relishes in his mercy. He is not a God that demands of us everything so that he can gain everything. He gives us everything so that he can gain glory. Doesn't that sound good, church? No one else can give you that. No one or anything else can offer you that. So that was the second point. The Lord will guide us. The third thing I'd like to share with you this morning from this passage is the Lord will protect us. The Lord will protect us. Look at verse 4 with me, if you have your Bibles. It says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, a little bit of background here before we jump in this. The darkest valley, or the valley of the shadow of death, as some of your translations say, it was a common place on the way up to Jerusalem. And so David, as he writes this, is thinking back to him being a shepherd, leading the sheep through these valleys and ravines that he would not have been protected by attacks from bears or lions or whatever animal it might have been. And David is saying, even though I cannot control everything in my world, he says, you will keep me safe. It's interesting to me that David uses the imagery of the rod and the staff. Now, I would have thought these things to be one and the same thing, but they're not. So I would have thought this rod would have been like the stick thing. But I did some research this week, and that's not what rods were. You see, rods, they would dig into the roots of a tree, and they would find big knots somewhere in the root system, and they would cut there. And shepherds would carry this thing that would be anywhere from 4 to 6 feet long, and they would have this big, woody, knotty ball on the end of it so that they could wield it. They could wield it as a weapon. They could whack something or something with it, right? Like whack-a-mole. They could throw it like Thor's hammer if they wanted to, right? They could do whatever they wanted to do with it. But it wasn't just this straight stick. It was a weapon. And it provided protection. A shepherd would not only have a slingshot and rocks as weapons, but they would also have this amazing tool in their hand. Now, the staff is a little bit different than the rod. The image would have been a stick that the shepherd would have formed a hook on it so they could guide and lead and protect the sheep. Now, a lot of us have this image of this hook where you put it around the sheep's neck, right, and you would jerk it to make them go where they wanted to. That's not what they would have done. They couldn't be harsh with the sheep. They actually had to be quite gentle with the sheep. And did you just notice what David just did for us through the imagery of the rod and the staff? We have a God who is strong enough to protect us, and we also have a God who is gentle enough to nurture us. Doesn't that sound like our God? Don't we have a good God, church? It doesn't matter if you're a school teacher, a stay-at-home parent, a business owner, retired. It doesn't matter your circumstance. This psalm is your story, because every one of us knows the God who will fight for us, that we have a God who will comfort us. And this is what David wanted us to know. This is what David celebrated. Look at verse 5 with me. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." There are two images here that scholars discuss with this image of the table. The first concept, which it could have been, is that up in the mountains you would have a snow table. And when the snow would melt and the grass would grow rich up there on the mountains. Living in Indiana, we can kind of get this. The snow is horrible, in my opinion, but the springs here in Indiana are very gorgeous. They're beautiful. That's because the snow had all this moisture and nutrients to revitalize the grass. So what the shepherds would do is he would take the sheep up to the mountains when the snow thawed, because the table platform of grass would be richer than anything else down below in the valleys. Maybe that's what David's alluding to. There's also this allusion, which I think is probably more what David is alluding to, is when someone comes to a table, when someone comes into your house, the gift of hospitality is still what God's people are still meant to be about. And when someone entered into your home, they came into your protection. So if someone was pursuing a guest in your home, you would be willing to give up your life to protect them so that they may not be harmed at your table. And David says, our God invites us into his table in the midst of all our enemies. We have no doubt where our hope and our strength comes from. That's that point. The Lord will protect us. The next point I want to talk about is the Lord will heal us. Going back to verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. There's a shepherding term that's found in the New Testament that I did not know was there. The Apostle Paul says, why so downcast, O my soul? Trust in God. I didn't know and I didn't understand what the word downcast meant until I did some research this week on shepherds and sheep. I found out for a sheep to be downcast is that the sheep have these short, stubby legs, and sheep, they get fat, and they have all this wool, and when they fall over on their back, they can't get up. And so the sheep are downcast. They just lay there. And if no one is there to rescue them, they are a wolf's buffet. But if a shepherd would come along and see the sheep downcast, he would come along and he would pick them up. And what the shepherd would have to do is essentially he'd have to massage the sheep's legs because they would have been downcast for so long that these short, stubby legs would have gone numb. And so he would have had to massage the legs to get the blood flowing in them, and then the sheep would be on their way. Doesn't that sound like our God, church? I'm sure a lot of us could testify that our God has been gentle to us and has come along and he's picked us up when we were downcast and fallen down. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. He restores our soul gently. He restores our soul lovingly. Look at verse 5 with me. It says, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The anointing process is what a shepherd did to the sheep that had gone to thickets or bramble and had been cut or scratched. And the shepherds, they would carry this ointment that had these different spices that they would put together, and they would anoint the sheep. They would cover them to heal the wounds of the scratches and cuts so that they wouldn't get infected on the sheep. We have a God who not only protects us, who sets us back up, but we also have a God who heals our wounds. The last thing I want to talk about today is the Lord will pursue us. The Lord will pursue us. Look at verse 6 with me. It says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Scholars tend to mention that the word follow in our English translation is not as accurate as it needs to be. A more accurate translation for the word follow here would be pursue. Now listen, I need you guys to get this. You have never gone after God. You have never followed God. You've never pursued God. God has always come after you. Listen, we talked about this at the start. We do not have a God that we have to impress. We have a God that ought to impress us. And he is followed us. He has pursued us. He has been passionately asking for your hand in covenantal marriage your entire existence. Every moment of your life, he is wooing you. He is following you. He is pursuing you, asking you to trust him. He is saying, let me be your shepherd. He says, goodness and love will follow us. It will pursue us all the days of your life because the goodness of God for the glory of God. And David wraps it up by saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not only do I have a God in love with me, I have a God who is after me. A God who will not take no for an answer, but a God who will constantly keep asking for my yes. And that God will take me into his home and make me his. This is the same David who would say, I would rather spend one day in the presence of God than 1,000 years anywhere else. Why? Because David knew who God was. And so this morning, I would like just to end with a simple question. And that question this morning is, the Lord can be your shepherd. Will you let him? Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning in all of who you are, of your love, of your mercy, of your grace. Lord, and as we have studied the 23rd Psalm, we have seen that you are the good shepherd, that you provide for us, that you protect us, that you heal us, that you pursue us. And Lord, we are so thankful for your kindness and your mercy for us. Lord, we just reflect at this moment on if you are a good shepherd or not. And we ask that you will work in our lives in such a way that you will make your name and your presence known in our lives for your glory. It's your name I pray. Amen.